So this morning, I want to speak a simple message. It's called Speak Through Me. Acts chapter 8, wonderful passages. We begin the book of Acts chapter 8. We're burying Stephen. You know, he has stood the test. He praised God. And even as he was being killed, he was still rejoicing and saying, "Don't lay this charge upon them, Lord. Don't do that." And he died with an angelic face, I'm sure, because of even though the pain that was coming back. And so in the beginning of the 8th chapter, they're burying him. They're honoring him. They're honoring the God that he served. But I want to move a little bit further down in that passage to introduce you to somebody else that many of you are very familiar with. His name is Philip. You know, Philip was that kind of person that probably came along. We call him the evangelist. He's been designated as a deacon. But I know this, he was a disciple in the early church. And he was the kind of disciple that listened to God. You know, are we those kind of disciples today? Do we listen when God says listen? Do we move when God says move? Or do we go, you know, I think I'll take a vote about that. You don't vote with God unless you're saying, yes, sir, this is what I'm going to do. Because contrary to that, it would be a very difficult time. So I just want to give you a couple passages here. I'm in that 8th chapter. You got your Bibles, Acts chapter 8. We're going to look, verse number 2, I want to introduce you to Philip. I know that he's been on the scene before, and it's not the apostle. This is the deacon. This is the evangelist. This is somebody that probably you would not know a lot about if it were not for this particular story. I wish in some ways that I had a gift that my brother Marshall has in Fairbanks, Alaska. As you know, as he's been here so many times, he's a storyteller. And he can tell stories. I'm not saying all of them are true. He does take liberties at times. You know, he expands the Greek. Let's put it that way. Well, I guess that's a nice word. I just know Marshall. Embellishment might have been a compliment. Yeah. Because we did things, and I said, I never even realized we ever did anything like that. But that's Marshall. It wasn't me. In the 12th verse of that 8th chapter of the book of Acts, he says, "But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And Simon himself believed, and he was baptized. He continued with Philip in wonder, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done." Well, obviously, Philip had been preaching a great revival. Lives were changed, and it wasn't about lift me up, look at me, I've done this great one. No, and it was never going to be about that. What he did was that he obeyed God as the Holy Spirit moved on him. And now God's sitting there going, I got a job for you. And he says, I need you to find that road that leads out of Jerusalem down to Gaza. Now, we're very familiar with Gaza now because of all the things that are taking place in Israel. It's the same place. It's the same place that he's going. This man, Philip, is probably 100 miles from Gaza. But God says, I need you to go down this road. Now, we're talking about in that day especially, but even today, it's a very deserted area, and it's a very much a desert area. It's not the place that anybody really would want to go, but it's exactly where Philip was called to go by God. He said, because I want you to meet somebody. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. Philip, the evangelist, is leaving a great meeting. I mean, there are literally thousands of people being saved, lives are being changed, the name of Jesus Christ is being lifted up, but God says, Philip, I got one person I want you to meet. That's God. You realize that that's what God does every day in our world? He takes an evangelist, he takes someone that is influential, and he says, I want you to go to a cornerstone, and I want you to preach to them. I want you to deliver my message to them. And that's exactly what we have had in the past. We've had those people that have come and they have delivered a message to our church that God said, they've sometimes have left big things, but God said, this is where I want you to be. Well, this is Philip. This is the man that he was. He was on call from God, and he did exactly that. Now, I mentioned Marshall a little bit because Marshall always has a story. And one of his stories kind of goes along with this. He said, you know, way back, I was riding my moped. Now, if you know Marshall, Marshall's a pretty big old boy. Could you imagine him on a moped? That would be, never mind, let's not go there. But he says he's downtown Waco, and he sees this limo. And this limo's got these two U.S. flags or American flags on the thing. So they know there's somebody important. And he's talking about this thing. And he said, and he could just tell by looking at the people, they were looking for Magnolia. But it's kind of like most of our government officials can't even find a couple silos. But he was looking, and he's riding along, and he gets up beside him, and he's beginning to peek over. You would never do that, would you? I know you gawkers. You gawk for sure if that was a limo going. And so he's looked in, and the guy's got the window down. I said, don't ever roll the window down in Waco. You're liable to get shot. You never know what could happen here. But the window's down, and he looks in, and there's the Secretary of Education. Wow. This Marshall, he said he was reading the Bible. And then Marshall told me, he said, I didn't even know the man could read. But that's beside the point. He says, I was shocked. I looked, and he's reading the Bible. I was so shocked, I ran into the curb and wrecked my moped. Well, the man looks out the window and says, look at this guy, just crazy. But Marshall gets up, and he dusts off, which he always does, and he looks at the guy, and he goes, sir, do you have directions? Marshall goes, I can help you. Let me help you find what you're looking for. I mean, we're only about a half a block from a couple big silos. They're all rusted up, and everybody makes all kind of money off of that kind of good stuff. But he's asking for directions. He says, Marshall volunteers. And if you knew Marshall, he would definitely volunteer. That is almost, well, that's definitely embellishment, okay, Howie, I got it. That's almost the story of Philip as he meets with this Ethiopian official. In the 26th verse of the book of Acts, in chapter 8, it says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasures, and had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was returning. He's sitting in his chariot, and he was reading Isaiah, the prophet. Now, the next verse is important to hear. And then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself unto the chariot. So what did Philip do? He said, not today. Oh, that's not what Philip said. Philip ran thither to him, heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understand what you're reading? I mean, do you understand what Isaiah is saying? We could use Philip in our class, I promise you, in our class. We do Isaiah right here. I'll say we could definitely use a little insight every once in a while. And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. He said, come on up here, buddy. I got a seat right here in the chariot with me. The place that the scripture which read was this, Isaiah 53. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb dumb before his shears, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Sometimes it is difficult. Sometimes we have to understand. But in this very passage, there's three characters in this group. Now, we've caught on to that, I think. You've caught on to who those people are. I mean, you know that we got Philip, and Philip's the main character supposedly right there in that thing. And he says, Philip, I want you to go down and meet this Ethiopian official, and I want you to get to know him. So he jumps up in the chariot with him, and they have a Bible study. They study the Word of God. The Ethiopian official is convicted by the very thing. Now, you got to understand about who this guy is, because obviously he is a godly person. He is a man that came to Jerusalem to worship, came to the temple to do all these things. And we know that by the reading on in the passage that he believes in Jesus Christ and that he is saved, and then he gets baptized. Wow, what a deal. All the things that happened right here. Can I tell you something? Not every story in the Bible comes out perfectly. Not every story that you read in the Word of God is, you know, that everything comes out just right. Not every one of our lives is so fluid and so moving in the Spirit that it comes out exactly the way we think it should. But this is not the truth in this story, because Philip obeyed what was told him to do, and he led this man to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it goes on to say, man, they're traveling along a little further and said, there's some water over there. Let's go get baptized. Now, he didn't say it. This is what the Ethiopian official said to him. What would preclude me from being baptized? Obviously, that had been planted by Philip in his heart to say, this is what you do. This is your confession that you make openly to people to say, this is what took place. Well, they have this, they part ways, and you can see Philip, he's jumped on his camel and he rode. Well, I don't know if it says that either, but I'm sure that he was singing, happy trails to you until we meet again. Now, what do you think Roy Rogers gets these things? I mean, come on. He ends up hooking it up the coast. He stops in every city along the way, preaches the Lord Jesus Christ, and every place he finally makes it all the way up to Caesarea. That's between Joppa and Mount Carmel. If you know, you probably don't know anything about that. Okay. The story has a happy ending, doesn't it? And that's the kind of story you wish God would write for you. Everything about it talks about that. Philip teaches. He does exactly what God says. The Ethiopian obeys, and not only did he obey the gospel, he was baptized, and he was sent back into Africa with the word of the Lord Jesus Christ imprinted upon his heart. Now, somewhere down the line, before he ever got there, he must have known about there was a God in Israel. That had been planted in his heart earlier, and, you know, that's the way that God works. He does it in ways that you may not think it could even be possible. He does it in a way that says, I want you. I want you to allow me to speak through you. I want you to share my story with the world. I want you to testify to people, to tell them what Jesus has done in your life. I want to speak through you. Just like I spoke through Philip. But that's not all the story. I stopped at the place I need to stop. You remember I said there was three characters in this? You know, we got the Ethiopian, we got Philip. But did you catch who the third one was? If you go back to verse number 29, I want you to look at that just for a moment. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the God Spirit, the very one that makes the difference in our lives, the one that some reason we just don't always catch. You know, the angel said unto Philip, pack your bags, boom, you're heading towards Gaza. This is what's going to take place. This is what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit instructs Philip in what to do. You see, God orchestrated the whole thing. Do you realize that God is orchestrating your life today? God is the one, he's sovereign in all things, and he's really orchestrating our lives. Are you listening? Are you paying attention to what God is saying? Here was a godly man coming up out of Ethiopia, longing to hear more about this great God. And God says, well, I can tell that he's a little bit confused about what Isaiah is saying, as we are a lot of times, we're confused. But God said, I got the answer. I've got a man, his name is Philip, and I'm going to send Philip down here. You know, Philip did not go down and preach to this man like he was preaching an evangelistic service. He didn't go down there and like he just did in Samaria. He didn't approach the man at all like that. He did it the way the Spirit said that you do this kind of stuff. He came along, he said, I hear you're reading Isaiah. Do you have any insights to what God is saying through Isaiah here, this prophecy that he's giving? Wow. He didn't approach it, you need to get saved right now, or the booger man's coming to get you. No, that's not what he said. God said he found a Philip, and he sent Philip. Now, when you read this story, I understand. I mean, I've read it many times, and sometimes I don't always get the exact meaning, especially when I read Isaiah. I always have to study and look at that, find somebody a whole lot smarter than me, which is not difficult. But I have to find him. John's usually sitting right there, and he points out things, and I think that's great. But our typical observation about a story like this, our typical conclusions, is that Philip was somebody so incredible, so attached to God, that God said he's the only person that could ever do. You know, I think Philip was special. I really do think he was. Did he have access to the Oval Office? I don't think he had access to the Oval Office. But I really do think that it's possible he might have carried a first century pager. Yeah, okay. Y'all don't know what a pager is? Okay. That's why it came in the first century. And I know God quit passing those things out after the first century. So anyway, and you have to realize, I know this is a shock for some of you younger ones, that this was a pre-internet. You know, pre-internet. And how do I know that? Well, because Al Gore hadn't been born yet. Well, come on now, people. You know, he said he did it all. But then again, you might have talked about reincarnation. That might be a plug for reincarnation right there for Al Gore. I mean, in that kind of, don't look at me that way. Read in the scripture. You remember Balaam? You remember Balaam? I know it says in the Hebrew, I think Balaam's donkey's name was Al. Sorry. That's Marshall rubbing off on me right there, I can tell you right now. And I'll let him know that he had a great input into our service today. God said, I have somebody. And he may be sitting right here in this congregation today. She may be here. She may be the next person that I call upon to share Jesus. It may be you. It may be me. And I know you expect me to do it, but I'm expecting God to tell you to do it. Speak through me. Oh, not me personally. Speak through each one of you. Share the very things that God has done in your life. Paul would write in Galatians chapter 5, he makes this statement. He says that we are to live by following the Spirit. What did he say? If you walk in the Spirit, this is what you will have. God will walk in you. He's going to do it. Paul would also write in Romans chapter 8, in which we'll look at in a little bit. He says, the true children of God are those who let God's Spirit lead them. What did he say in the KJ? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? Well, they're called the sons of God, the children of God. This is how we get led. Now, I know today that it's difficult for some to even believe in the power of that third character called the Holy Spirit. I understand all the misconceptions that come along. You know, that we talk about the Father. We study about the Son. But for some reason, we have left out the one who is alive and well in our hearts and lives today, the very Spirit of God, that he said, I will leave with you. That's his presence. It's God's presence. And it's alive in us. Amen. To do what? To carry on the work that Jesus began when he was in this world. And how does he help? Well, he helps in a lot of different directions. But I can think of three things that he does for us right now. Galatians 5. What happened to my verses? There they are. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. How does he help? He helps us inwardly. That's what he does. The Spirit of God helps us inwardly to understand what I want you to live like. And these are the fruits of me living within you right there. But not only inwardly, but he helps us upwardly. And I think that's always a great point to separate. Once again, in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, what does he do for us? He helps our infirmities. I don't know about you, I got a lot of infirmities. Those are things that come. I'm not talking about physical as much as mental, heartfelt infirmities at different times. But he makes intercessions for us. When we can't say it to the Lord, he does. He takes my groanings. He takes my hurts. He takes the things that are pressing down on me, and he lifts them to the throne of grace for me. And he does it for you every day. I hope you know that. I hope this is what he does. He says he helps us inwardly, he helps us upwardly, and he helps us outwardly. He gives you courage. He puts a burden on your heart for your loved ones. He speaks to you about those people that all of a sudden God says, you need to talk to that man. You need to share that with that child. You need to tell them about me. Why does he say that? Well, he said, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was given unto us. You see, this is what God does. He puts it in our hearts. If you think about evangelism, and we've been blessed with great evangelists, in all evangelism, it's the Holy Spirit that takes center stage. It's not the man or the woman. It's not either one of those things. When a disciple teaches, well, what is he teaching? It's what the Holy Spirit is teaching. It's not what a man's teaching, because what a man teaches is not worth anything. But what the Spirit of God says. When a listener, when someone receives this, when he's convicted, it's the Holy Spirit that does the convicting. If you get convicted by what a man says, you have nothing. But if you get convicted in your soul by what God is saying, you got everything, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. And not only to that regard right there, but when a listener is converted, when he is saved, when this takes place, it's the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. It's not a man-made thing, people. It's the Spirit of God that lives within us, that's speaking to you as he has spoken to you that know Jesus as your personal Savior. That's who spoke. Oh, a man may have been preaching. He might have used a person like a Philip. But the reality of it is the Holy Spirit does the very thing that Paul writes in the 8th chapter. He says, he shall quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit. You see, God chose that day to use a Philip. He is choosing today. Philip's no longer with us, but the Spirit is. He's choosing you. He's choosing me to do that thing. And when the believer is moved, it's only the Spirit. That's who does all this. It's the Spirit that lives within you. Did you know that he's within you? That he makes all things possible within you, that he changes our lives because of him. It is maturity that comes along, and that only comes by the Spirit also. Paul would write in 2 Corinthians, I'm going to quote 2 Corinthians for you today, Terrence, the third chapter though, who hath also made us able ministers of the New Testament, of the gospel, of the call of God upon people's lives. What does he do for you? He makes you competent. You guys are competent in a lot of things. But the one thing that we need to be competent in mostly is the very thing that's so personal to each one of us, and the way that God did it was his Spirit. He saved your soul. He changed your life. He made you who you are today. He's making you every single day. We're not done with you yet. He says, I got something I want you to do. That's the same spirit that was in Philip. It's the one that's in you. He did it for Philip. He can do it for you. He can do it for me. He's that way. But I've never heard an angel's voice. Margaret talks to me all the time. I'm trying to get all the points I can because I'm sure I messed up somewhere. I mean, have you ever seen a flannel board, you old people? You remember that? Put the angel on the flannel board. Didn't that flannel board angel speak to you? When I was a kid, he did. He spoke perfectly clear. That figure is what spoke. The angel of God is speaking today. And he's calling you. He's calling you, saying, let me speak through you. Let me use you. Let me make a difference in people's lives. I don't know your friends. I don't know your whole family. I don't know any one of those people. At times, I just don't know them. Would I want to know? Yeah, I'd love to know them. But haven't you heard a voice whispering in your spirit at some point in your life? Have you not heard somebody speaking and you're looking around? Well, it's not a ghost, people, unless it's a Holy Ghost. But it's speaking to your spirit. Haven't you ever felt a nudge? I need to see. Yeah, I'm in the grocery store. I see somebody. And that person, there's a problem. You could tell. They're not saying anything, but you just tell by their spirit that they need an encouraging word. They just need somebody to say, hey, I've been there. I understand. Now, don't say you understand if you don't understand. And don't speak if the Spirit's not moving you. Please, please don't do that. Because the Spirit can use you as He chooses. And He will if we're paying attention to Him. Invite somebody over for a cup of coffee. It's okay if you're a Christian to drink coffee. That's another one. It's an old-time thing. I was in a group that said, can't be much of a godly person who drinks coffee. Well, obviously, I'm not very godly, that's for sure. Because I'm sure a coffeeholic, that's for sure, I know. But invite somebody or maybe have some tea and crumpets. Call them over to watch a movie. Pride and Prejudice, and every man will run and hide. Yeah. Just like I did yesterday. Don't pry into their lives. Let them be. Don't you remember exactly what the Ethiopian official did? He shared. He said, come here, Philip. Come on up here. Can you tell me what Isaiah is saying? And I'm sure that that's exactly what Philip needed, just needed a lead. As many people would do that for you. You don't have to go beat him over the head to give him Jesus. You just have to say, I'm just like you. I'm just as common. But I've got something. I think I can help explain that. I think God has given me that. That's not prying, people. But what was sad is if you just keep silent. That's sad. Because God is expecting us to do it. Maybe it's a business meeting. Maybe you're on a job site. I don't know where you are. Have you ever been around somebody that you're right there and they get chewed out? I mean, I'm not talking to you. They didn't chew you out. But they chewed out the person next to you. How do you feel? I know how I feel. When that person that did the chewing out, if I didn't chew them out, which I probably would anyway, but I go alongside that person and I want to encourage them. Were they wrong? Probably. Did he have every right to chew them out? Well, probably not the way that he did it. But you encourage. You don't discourage anymore. They're already discouraged. How about when we get visitors? What would it be like if you never spoke to one of our visitors? They'd never come back. And I've heard that before. And some of you have testified that to me. I went to this particular church and that no one spoke to me. Well, I'm sorry, if you still have an arm left, if they shake the fool out of you the whole time, or if you're scared to be hugged, Cornerstone's not the place. Why? Because the Spirit of God is saying, I need you to speak to that person, to recognize that person, not to scare them, not to sign them up to be something in the church. No, just to say, hey, we're glad you're here. You can do that every day you walk in this world, because there's plenty of people God's going to put in your path. And what does he want you to do? He's not calling you from 100 miles away. He might, but more than likely he's calling you from right beside you, right where you work, right where you go grocery shopping, all those things. Philip came along. The Ethiopian official needed something, and he needed to be enlightened. Do you know that you have a lot of the Word of God hid in you already? And you don't have to be a scholar. You just have to share your heart. You just share what God has already spoken to you about. The problem was he did not understand exactly what Isaiah was saying. He needed just a simple explanation. And he treated him exactly that way. With loving kindness, he said, I think this is what Isaiah was sharing. Who was he talking about? That's the next question. And what did he do? Reading from Isaiah 53, he said, this is the sheep. This is the one slain from the foundation of the world. And his name is Jesus. My friends, that is powerful. The one that lives within me, his name is Jesus. The one that changed my life is the one that was slain from the foundation of the world. And his name is Jesus. And I'm not ashamed of that. And I'm going to share that very thing. But I didn't see any lights. You just lit a candle, didn't you? If you're waiting for the stars to move and some great shining, you think you've got a Damascus Road experience, you may be disappointed. But I know this, what God put in you is a light. He says, shine your light. And he lit the light right there. Well, I haven't ever heard any voices. I'm sure some of you have heard voices, maybe not the voices I'm thinking of, but the voice they're speaking to you right now, saying you're the one. That's the voice. That's the little voice, the still small voice of God speaking. Well, I don't know if I could do that. It would take a miracle. Well, no kidding. But is that not what a witness is? It's a miracle that the Spirit of God moved upon you, and now the miracle just took place. I'm witnessing it right now. God speaking to each one of us. Who knows? Maybe that's what God's going to do for you this week. If you're listening, I'm pretty sure he will speak. If you're paying attention at all, not to what I'm saying, but what the Spirit might be saying to you right now, I'm sure there's going to be somebody in your life this week that God is going to give you the privilege of sharing Jesus. They're not interested in your life story, and don't tell it. What they're interested in is saying, I don't know everything about you, but I do know this. I know who changed my life. I don't know about all your problems. Really don't want to know about all your problems. What I do want you to know is that I know the one who solves the problems, and his name is Jesus. Can he speak through you this week? I think he can. Let me finish this a little bit, and I'll be done. And they went on their way, and I'm at verse 36. And they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth it hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. That's all that it ever took. I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. That's exactly what he said. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the eunuch, he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he was baptized. Wow. Don't you know that how excited that Ethiopian official was? Don't you know how incredibly happy and joyous he was that he found out exactly who Isaiah was talking about? Don't you know that he went on down, and I'm sure Ethiopia's a long ways from where they were, but I know this, he went with a full heart, and did he have a message? I guarantee you he preached just like Philip preached. He went back down to his queen and went there back into the cabinet, and he shared, I have the answer to what we've been thinking about, and his name is Jesus. You see, people, someone did that for you, and someone did it for me. Now, one person God used still sits back there in the corner, and she's still telling me about Jesus. You see, we have the privilege of sharing the greatest story that's ever been told, because it's more than a story. It's a witness, a testimony of who God is. The chariot stops. The Ethiopian is baptized. They both come up out of the water rejoicing. They come out going down. They go their separate way. But they both go in the same spirit, just as he's doing in our lives today. That same spirit. Are you a Philip? Yeah, you are, but you just may not know it. Are you the recipient, as the Ethiopian official was? Yeah, we have been. And now God said, my spirit is saying, speak. Speak through me. Speak about me. Let me use you to win someone to Jesus Christ. Let's pray.